looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And thank you, everybody, for hanging in there. We're a little bit behind, but it's a fun reason. Our guest today is actually in UK, and, well, I haven't had to dial out that way. And this show is completely all about puzzle pieces. And let me tell you, trying to figure out which digits, what numbers to add and put through and take away was certainly a puzzle piece. So let me go into and let you share with you what today is really about. So this is, and it's actually, I can't even believe how perfect this is for how the show started, but have you ever been at peace? Hello, Sally. I know you're there.
Hello.
I'm going to introduce you, but let me just share with everybody first. They can go, you know what? I am meant to be listening to this show. So, and this is a perfect analogy. And Sally, because we know who she is, kind of, shared this with me prior to coming on the show, talks about putting a puzzle together. So have you ever been piecing a puzzle together and found yourself really wanting and even believing that a certain piece fit, kind of like when I was dialing the number today, and your belief was like that this was the right piece, like it had to fit, like you're finagling, you're forcing it, you're trying to make the edges lined up. I know I have done this when I do puzzles, but in the end, you kind of know that it's not the piece, even though you really want it to go, and you have to have this courage to just remove that piece. It doesn't go there. You've got to say, you know what, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to remove it, and the right piece will show up, and this piece will go somewhere else that's right. And this is exactly the story that Sally was sharing with me over the holidays. And Sally's name is Sally Saint. I just love her name. She is an artist, a healer, and published writer in the Natural Parent magazine. And she is joining us. She's here with us. And she's working on the puzzle pieces in our lives and how we can create movement in the direction that we need and want. Now, this whole phone call today and this whole beautiful show is because I want to highlight that Sally is an artist. I generally highlight that I have authors on the show. Now, Sally is a published writer, and she writes amazing stories, which we can share some, but her artwork is actually how she shares her message. And when you're asking yourself, okay, so what's Sally got to say about all this troublesome life and everything to go? Well, she really just wants people to look at the challenging times and say, gosh, I need to make sense of this. And how is it that I can express myself? How can I step out of my silence? How to feel safe? How to be able to share with people what's going on so that they can experience feeling better in their bodies, better in their skin, and understanding that life's challenges, as we speak about on the show, that they are there for a reason, and how can we get through them better? So, Sally, I'm so happy to have you on the show today. Thank you for hanging in there with us, and welcome.
You're very welcome. Hello, Lisa.
Hello! Oh, I forgot that you have an accent. Oh, that's even better.
I do!
Oh, well, Sally, I'd asked you before, I was like, you know what, if you could help me out to tell me who would be the people that they'd want to hear from you, like, what have you, you know, and I've read so many of your articles and your stories, and it just seems like you've got a handle on dealing with these challenging things. How did it come about that you used artwork and painting to help you get through these challenges and help others?
For me, I think it's the same with everybody. You use what you're drawn to, and art has always been a part of my life, and it was always part of expressing myself, even as a child. It was only then when I started to do some training later on in life to really start peeling the layers off myself. I found some really helpful and supportive spiritual teachers. And when I went to them, when I first walked away from the first retreat, my artwork completely changed. And it was in allowing space in this retreat to be authentically me and to speak my truth and feel when I came home, my artwork was transformed. And it's shown me in all the years the depth of healing that art can have. And that's whether you enjoy it and buy a piece that you're drawn to, or you actually create your own. And it does not matter how you create it and what medium you use. You can use a pencil and still draw something that is of importance to you. You can draw things out of you that bypasses your mind, and that's exactly what you need to do when you're releasing. You need to bypass your mind and just allow yourself to feel. And that's what art can do. It is transformative.
When you're saying that, I can feel listeners, and I can feel me going, okay, authentic, expressing what's in me. And I kind of get scared even just thinking about it, but art might be a safe place to do it. How do we know how did you know that it was safe to allow yourself to start expressing, when you went to that retreat? How was it, a click? Was it a thing?
I was safe to express because of the people that I went to and the situation that they created for me. So your body knows when you're safe. Your energy knows when you're safe. And so these were energy workers. You could call them shamanic teachers. But I did 4 retreats a year, and they were linked with the solstices and equinoxes. And they were 3-day ones, but they were the deeply intense. They used ceremonies. A lot of them were Native American based. But they were British white people, but they were Native American based. And when I started, it was like I'd come home. It linked my love of animals, because Native, all the ceremonies, they had a lot of power animals associated to them. I dream of animals, you know, and the meaning of them. So I came home when I first started this. It's an earth-based healing process, and it helped me open up what was always there. I had gone down the restricted route with art, as I'd done with everything else. You conform to other people around you. I stepped away from there, and I've not looked back since with my art. It has always been authentically me when I create. And that's, it peeled away a layer, it opened a door that's been locked. And it was like, this is how you're meant to create.
And it shone the light on that. Now, when you said earth-based healing, my ears really just perked up there. I love that, actually. Earth-based healing. Now, is it because is that what we want then, or we don't? Not that we want or don't want, but is that the what is earth-based healing versus non-like spiritual-based healing?
Mother Earth is always there. We walk on her. But
right.
What better energy to tap into? It's so also it's another non-denominational one. So it's not linked to a religion. It says it's Mother Earth. You walk on her. You can connect with her at any moment of any day. She is always constantly there, and she's always constantly, she supports us. What does Earth do? We should be constantly there. And it's that solidity. When I paint also, I draw a lot of trees come through, and it's that same thing. The roots go into Mother Earth. The branches go up to the sky, which is spirit. So, but it's just that nature is solid. It doesn't get wind and weighed by opinions. And look how Mother Earth can come back when it gets catastrophes happen to it. It can regenerate beautifully. But it's that, I'm a farmer's daughter, so I was brought up in the countryside. So it was like another link with, there are links in our lives of what's important to us, and outdoor space and nature is important to me. So it was a culmination of a number of things that were just right for me. And that's what people, when you go on this earth, why are there so many flavored ice creams? You find the flavor that's right for you.
Right.
And your body knows, your energy knows, it will tell you, and it will help you support and release whatever the head and the emotions and whatever you're going through. And you can lie on Mother Earth, and you can let Mother Earth absorb what you're, if you're releasing something, just lie on the ground.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you said that. You know what's funny? So I feel so much more comfortable sitting on the ground, even in my home, my house.
Yeah.
There's furniture, obviously, everywhere. And
yeah.
I'll be sitting there, and I'll think, gosh, I just need to sit down beside the couch. And I know I look silly at the moment, but it's because it's a grounding. Now, with you being saying, listening to our body, listening to what Mother Earth is there to support us and share and heal us and ourselves. Right now, let's say there's somebody's listening and they're going through this time and they cannot make sense of this. And they're thinking, I'm in the spot and nobody seems to, nothing they're hearing, they're relating to or connecting. And if you were going to let, like, cause I love that you had said before, it's not to give somebody the answers, but to give them the tools. So
yeah, okay.
Is this, how does one, what would be a good sign that they are listening to themselves and that it's their own body giving them a message?
Possibly it's sometimes even a stopping. I don't want to listen. I don't want to release this. That's actually a start, because your body's actually, sometimes you can be drawn in. Well, maybe you need to be drawn in. Maybe you need to be away from people for a while, and maybe you just need to feel that safety so as you can release. So the body signals can be quite extreme or they can be quite subtle, but they're giving you the answers by, look at what's going on in your life right now, right at this moment, this very day. So if someone is going through this and listening to this program right now and they're going through something very big, what is happening to you right now today? And just let that be your pointer. So you're not reliant on somebody else, what somebody else is going through, what a book says, which books are fantastic. There are some wonderful books out there. But in order to be authentic and find our truth, we have to listen to ourselves. So just go for this day. What is going on? Are you exhausted? Do you feel like you want to be, do you feel alienated, isolated? How do you feel? Just go with the now. And in actually listening to you now, you're starting the body wisdom, because you're listening to what's happening to your life right now. And it will lead you the next step. Listen.
I love that you've been asked the question, are you exhausted right now? Do you feel alienated? Because I was going through my checklist, you know, oh, am I? Do I? Is this me? And, you know, and I love that you brought up body wisdom. And I think that's, I'd read that in, you write, and the first time I read your articles, they were in a parenting magazine. But then I just was lucky enough to read your story about your father. So the tables are turned now, you know, you're the child.
Yeah.
And so,
absolutely.
You led with your parenting stories, because that really played a giant role. You had to really listen to your body when it came time to having a baby.
Absolutely. And I came into my own because I stopped doing what everyone else was doing around me. So there is conforming influences around you with all things. The parenting is a really big thing. There's a massive amount of books, and there's like health visitors, and all the professionals will tell you how to do it. You have that baby, and I had my baby in quite extreme conditions. It blows all of that out the water, and you listen. You really listen, and that's when your parenting just comes into its own. It's about love. You have this child in front of you, and they show you pure unconditional love as soon as they come out, and it changes you. And you listen. It means you have to dig in deep, and you find things inside you that you need to release. But they remind you every single day. And my son is one of my greatest teachers, because they are mirrors and they are sponges. So it makes you really aware of what you are carrying. You do not wish to carry, to carry on. And you become a full stop to many things. So as your child can enjoy this unconditional love that he has. Yes, I read Marianne Williamson's book a while ago, and she said about her child that you teach your children to close the door but not their hearts. And that's exactly, that simple statement was exactly what you need to do. There are some people, there are some energies, there are some places you shouldn't be. But with love, you shut the door. You don't frighten. You just say, no, and it's about, again, body wisdom, respect. My son can read people's energy. It's as simple as breathing for him, that he knows who's, it's like he'll go behind me if someone doesn't feel healthy, because his sensitivity is at that level. And we have that too, but sometimes ours get dumbed down by life, or we ignore it. Oh, we shouldn't feel uncomfortable around that person because they're X, Y, Z, or we should be eating that because all the books tell you to. There will be something there that will be telling us not to.
Yes. You know, you just reminded me, I imagined your son right now, just as most children, you know, when they're with their parents and love them, they kind of shy away or go behind, you know, the leg. And sometimes we say, no, because perhaps they're asking just double checking in, you know, with the parent. But it's so funny because we don't really do that as adults, do we? We don't, you know, kind of go around and behind of our friends or something. And I used to do that. I remember this as a child and saying to my mom, I actually used to go up to my mom and I would say, Mom, is this person safe? And that's exactly what, and she didn't teach me that. That's, I remember.
If you look at the child point of view, how many adults get told to hug and kiss someone yet children do?
Yes. That's true.
So that's, if you look at it, because children are, they're wise beings, so they get told, they can get told, oh, you should this, that's an uncle, that's whatever, you should hug, you should kiss them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Why, when an adult wouldn't put up with it?
That's right. That's so interesting. I love that you brought that up. Now, so how old is your son right now?
He's 7 now.
He's 7. Okay. So when you were not expecting this pregnancy, you're not expecting to be a mom. And then you were.
Yeah, I knew from a young age I wanted to. Life had taken me on many courses, and those courses were experiences I need to experience. So I understand that now, but at the time they were hard. But I always knew in my heart I wanted to be a mother, because I nurtured everything. Animals I nurtured from a young age, they were. And I can read animals just because I spent so much time with them. I can understand them. And it's that sensitivity is that you can just feel. You know, you can, and that's another body wisdom, listening to the body language of the animal and feeling what that animal feels, yeah? So I knew that I wanted to, but I was 39 when I eventually had my son, and you know, you all have these picture perfect of what you'd like things to be. I wouldn't swap any of it. He's a remarkable child. I'm a different mum because of the experiences I've had. I would have parented differently if he'd come earlier. And it's something you learn as you get older and you're experiencing things.
Did your painting, did your artwork change again once you had him? And where was your transformation compared to having your son?
When I had my son, the artwork stopped because my focus was purely on my son. As I put in one of my articles, there were things around his health and things that were an issue, and so there was quite an intense period. But also, my focus was on this bond and link with him and what it was doing to me. So my transformation stopped with the art just purely because it was happening inside of me on a really deep level, and I needed just to be in that moment. And so it eased off. I did little bits and pieces, but nothing compared to what was and what I'm doing now. Things just changed. My transformation was a different one, rather than on the paper and the canvas.
I'm so curious now. So now that you've been back painting and selling your pieces, because you have a beautiful gallery online, people can purchase this. Have you heard from people what has happened to them when they've seen a piece that they like and they purchase it and they have it like that? Is there a transformation that happens to the witness of that person who's purchased a painting?
Absolutely, and so this is people that just see it, so they don't necessarily. So there are people that view them when my artwork is in a gallery, and just actually seeing it helps them understand that they can unlock something in themselves first of all. So when they look at it, it's like, well, that's something I have, you know. Where does that come from? So they'll ask me questions. And then people that actually purchase, they are drawn to the painting that actually is needed for them at that moment in time. So I will then, when they buy, I will give them the information about what the painting means, what the energy is around it. But initially, I just let them be drawn to the one that's right for them, and then I'll give them background, because I don't want to maneuver somebody to go in a situation with a painting that they don't necessarily are drawn to. I want them to make their own decision, see what's coming from them for the painting, so what they're feeling like about the painting, and then I will give them the information about what was going on, and it actually works for them. It's the same as when we have something beautiful around us that we feel very loving about. I've got lovely photos of my child or things that I've made when I was younger. They have that item around them and they feel the healing from it, and that's something they take with them, and it will support them for that time. It's something that they're holding up, they're honoring themselves when they buy it as well. This is not a piece with no meaning, and I'm not disrespecting how other people create. This has really deep healing abilities, and they are saying when they purchase this, I care about myself enough right now to honor what's going on with me and honor who I truly am.
I think that's the big one, honoring and respecting who you truly are, because we get put into so many situations that we're not listening to ourselves and how we feel, and just like what you said. And actually, there's one article you wrote and I loved about screen time, and how there's at one point you said, you know what, for children and stuff, like no TV in the house. And then all of a sudden you made a shift. You listened to something. You respected and honored. And you explored something. And then there was a shift. You went from no TV in the house to, okay, wait. Let's not just all of this. How did that one? I find really, I do want to hear more about that, because there are a lot of people that really have an all or nothing. And maybe that works for them. Maybe that does. So what was that for you that allowed you to go from that all or nothing?
I think I felt a shift in my child. I saw a difference in him, and I could feel from him, because he hadn't been exposed to a lot of screen time when he was younger. He had something inside him where he wasn't programmed then, that it was normal to have the telly on all the time. And I'm not disrespecting people that do, because sometimes they're in tough situations and the child in front of the telly can be a babysitter, if you like, because of what's going on. But for me, it was important because of his sensitivity as well. And he's really sensitive about what he watches too. So because he can feel what his palette then for what he likes is the gentle stuff and animal stuff he absolutely loves. Now, I saw in him his desire for the animals was about animals from all over the world. And I understood by what I was watching in his behavior when he was around telling other people's houses that he was actually okay about switching off there. It wasn't as if he had to watch it the whole time. Right. So he had in him a barometer which said, I'll stop, I actually want to spend time with this person. So I saw from him that he could regulate, and he only wanted a certain amount of telly. And here now I'm strong enough, I've got boundaries also. So if I see that it's too much time, and I can see that his energy is building up then, because they do have this build-up of energy where they've got to do something with it, then I can actually see, and I'll actually say, no, you know, no finish then. And I'll let him finish whatever program it is, and it comes off. But it was his growth. Children grow all the time. You can see it, because children grow. Mm. We grow too. So I grew stronger as a role model, mentor, about how to handle television, and I saw the positive for it. I saw him growing too. His mind was at an age where he could take on board what was there, and he could say yes and no. Mm. And so it was the combination of the two. I was listening to him and also to me.
I love that you said that you grew stronger, because that's when it comes to boundaries and setting boundaries, and then having the strength to be able to go up to that line in the boundary and kind of revisit it. Is this where this should be or not? And now we do have 2 minutes before commercial sales. So there was something that I really wanted. There was something that jumped out at me when I was reading your article about your father. Now, I want you to share that story, because I do want to dive in a little bit. But there was something, this is what really jumped out for me during that story, was when you brought up the fact that a lot of people fear and say this question, will it happen to me? Now, let me just, I'm going to expand on that one. And then if we do go to commercial, it's great, because then we'll come back and talk about it. But here's the thing when that happened, I know so many people are out there thinking, oh my gosh, my parents had this, or my coworkers had this going on in there. And we are afraid of that, whatever that is happening to us. Now, in fact, those emotions of just, will it happen to me, run through your body as if it is happening, because you're going through a solution. You know, so when you, and I want to share with all the listeners too, again, before commercial, is you did do readings at a time, you know, so this is something that people came to you basically going, oh my gosh, will this happen to me? Is like I connected those dots on that one. So, and we'll come back and go into that, but if you no longer do, oh, see, yes. So when we come back, that's it. Will this happen to me? 2 minutes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site. but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us here at Light on Living. We have Sally Saint with us, just a fantastic person full of, you know, acceptance and joy and willingness to grow. But what she is she's an author. She's a published writer. She's a fantastic mom. And she's right now, she's being quite the inspiration to me. And Sally, before we went on break there, the big question that I really hear a lot is, will it happen to me? And this could be any crisis that's showing up, whether it be political, career, love. I mean, it could be negative, it could be positive. Like, will I get pregnant? They want it to happen. Will that ever happen to me? Everybody else has it. Will I ever be successful? And then we have the fears. Will I get that disease because it's in my family? And just before, because I want you to share your story about your dad, if you don't mind. But I have a sister, and we're only a few years apart. And we grew up in the exact, you know, with only a few years, we're growing up at the same, almost same time. She's a little ahead of me. And here we are with my mom. She has now passed, and she was very ill all of our lives. But my sister grew up with a fear. I just don't want to be like mom. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to be like mom. And I completely separated. I'm not mom. I'm me. I'm not. And you know what's interesting is my sister is so much like my mom, and she has so many illnesses and ailments. And I wanted to ask you, just in general, do you believe, or do you know even, that the fear of something happening, can that in fact make it happen?
It can lead your mind, so it's your mind that leads when it's fear, not your heart. And your heart knows the truth. The heart knows that you're a divine being, yeah? So the laws of you're going to get what somebody else had is irrelevant when you connect with the heart, but the head will take you down a path. And the strongest way that your head, or I know it can be called the ego as well, is the strongest path it can lead you is fear, and that's a direct route then to all that. And there will be a million and one articles that will lead you down the same route. It will tell you about hereditary things. It will tell you about all the statistics, the percentages. It only feeds the fear. And the only way that you can get off that cycle is first of all, face it. So face, how does it feel? If you've got an intense feeling about an experience with somebody, like you said, with my father had a breakdown and was mentally ill. So that was, this is like one of the big ones of this world, as well as cancer. So they are words that are very loaded. So even the word itself has a loaded feel about it. Words are power. Yeah. And so, but if you can just allow yourself to face that fear, first of all, but then also what was linked with that person. If you've got a strong link, like your sister had a strong link with the mother, what was it about the mother that why is it so loaded? And I faced what was with my father, like we talked about, was I going to go down the same route? My dad had a really tough childhood, and he wasn't able to express emotions. And so when he came up into the world, he was unable to express those emotions as well. So as I've shared with you, when he became physically ill, he couldn't cope. His life was on the farm, and his therapy was being with the animals. He couldn't be openly released with people. He couldn't dialogue in a really deep way. I knew he loved me, but he couldn't hug or kiss, or he just couldn't do it. And then when he had the breakdown, he couldn't cope, and his mind took him out, and he had a breakdown. You know, he had a breakdown, but he stayed there. Some people can have a breakdown and transform. Mm-hmm. He stayed there. And like many years later, and through all that happened, he eventually became, his physical health got worse and worse and worse, and it was cancer in the end. But the 2 weeks of his build-up to passing was when every single shred of the mental illness dropped, but also the shred of the restrictions that he had on his life. It was the first time I could feel the warmth and pure love from him, and that was my healing. So 2 weeks I had the person I knew he was inside, and although he was deteriorating, it helped me understand that the restrictions he had in himself, the mental illness, the path he went down on, 2 weeks healed all because I saw his truth.
How did he get to those? What happened during that 2 weeks that allowed him to be separated from the mental illnesses and all those restrictions?
His physical health went down, but also I felt a massive shift in it. By then he was in a care home because he was too poorly for us to look after. I was helping my mum to look after him at home, and his physical health became really, we just couldn't manage. My mum was older and poorly and had the replacements, whatever, so it just wasn't feasible to have him at home anymore. And he was happy to go into the home he went into. But as the physical illness, you could feel a difference to it, and it was like a peeling off somehow on us. How I energetically felt there was something more to this, because people around, the doctors around, were saying, oh, he's going to be okay. And everyone was reassuring. I thought, no, there's something different. And you could feel a stillness in the air around him. There was this calm around him, even though he was going through the things he was going through. He held my hand. He told, you know, my mum various things, and he was loving. And it was that gentility, but it was just the space around him was completely different. It was almost like there was a cocoon around him and us. Mm-hmm. And that's how I knew it was different. And it dropped, and it was meant to drop. There was healings that were needed. Divine timing had shown that there were healings that needed to happen for this family before he left this earth, and also for us to feel it healed so many things. It was meant to be.
I love that you have you're such at peace with it. And I wonder, when I'm hearing that story, and I got to read the words and really absorb them, and we're going to direct people so they can read the story themselves if they're going through this. It feels like there's a sense of surrender that he went through. As you said, we use the word restrictions. And then to be able to, at life, just finally go, oh, I'm just tired of these walls and these restrictions, and I surrender. And perhaps that is when the love is going to come up. Now, I was going to ask you, say I'm going through something, the listeners are going through something right now, and we're just tired of those restrictions. And is that perhaps, the you said face it, step one would be to face something. Would that be to, and I mean surrender in a very gentle, loving way, to surrender to say, okay, I've got to face this. Is that a good place to start, to allow that honesty and truth and listening to the body wisdom?
Absolutely. It doesn't have to wait until we're passing either. So my dad's just right. Passed. But you can do it on this earth. Sometimes it's the last thing we want to do, because we fight. We've got jobs. We've got things we should be doing, and so we'll fight. And it's that fight that keeps us in stuck, then, fighting it. Whereas if we actually completely surrendered, stopped the phone, stopped everything, and allowed ourselves to feel, that sometimes we're afraid of what we're going to feel. If there's a lot there, we think, can we cope? Is it going to take us down? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be too much what we can handle? And so we have this internal fear saying, don't, but actually it's where we need to go. And that surrender is the most empowering thing, even though it feels like the opposite of what we want to do. Stop. Stop and feel. I have a child who, and as all parents do, they express emotions, and they express them when it happens. So if they annoy them, out it comes. We retain as adults, and yes, we deal with things, so we hold it. That emotion still has to come out. So as one of the links on this conversation was about if you've gone through an experience and a traumatic experience, and you feel like you should be euphoric, it's over, but you feel exhausted. That's because when the experience was happening, you were on adrenaline, you were coping. Afterwards, you need to release, and you need to feel, and allow yourself to feel, and whatever it is, whether it's rage, whether it's whatever, sometimes we think we should only be allowed to express the positive things and we shouldn't express the other. We should pull ourselves together. We should get on with it. We should, you know, you can move forward, but initially you need to let out, let go, and then you can step up and then you can do things. You have to feel first.
And I want to highlight what you just said, because Sally, I think you speak faster than I do.
I have to learn to slow it down.
You know what? You get excited and I get excited too. I'm so glad that you brought, because that is actually one of the points that, yes, we let people know, like, who are the ones who would most benefit. Now, what you said there, I love that you wrote this. Those who have gone through, they've been through it, they've gone through that really challenging time, and they expected to be in a euphoric state. And that one, I wanted to highlight that. So here you go, but why don't I feel good? I should feel great. And so that's what everybody was saying. That's what Sally was talking about. Where this is a confusing thing. You're like, no, I've been through all this hard stuff. I should be happy. Yeah. I'm in my euphoric state, but I feel beyond drained, so sore. And this is actually where you get your cold and flu too, because your adrenaline does drop that was protecting you. And you think, oh,
absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. So, but your body then, if you, with the cold and the flu, is telling you to stop as well.
Yes.
There's another body wisdom there, a message saying, you need to rest. You need to stop.
Yeah, it's assisting you. It's helping you. And also, too, colds and flus and all these little sicknesses are also ways, like what you said, if we have squished and squashed and put an emotion inside of us that we did not allow to get out, it's energy. It's, you know, it has to go somewhere. So sometimes it can just manifest in this kind of thing. Now, I want to let everybody, I want to direct them to view your beautiful artwork, just even like you said, to witness it, to look at it, to feel what comes up. And so could you let us know, where can they go to see your work, first of all?
My work, I've got a website, which is www.sallysaint.co.uk. On there is a link to my Instagram, because I'm on Instagram as well, and cool. I've got a Facebook page as well for my work. But if you go on the website, it's got absolutely everything there, and also my email address, so people can email me as well. So it's all on there.
Okay. Now, I'm going to do something funny, and you're not going to expect it, but I'm just going to ask. I have seen your artwork, and I remember I wrote to you when we first met and said, oh, I'm really drawn to, you know, this painting, and this painting. Now, I don't know if you'll remember them, and I'm probably naming them incorrectly, but because I didn't go ahead and ask you, like, oh, what does that mean? So I wondered, there's one that's kind of like a peacock. It's not a peacock, but it's kind of like a peacocky, wheely flower, those colors, those blues and greens and stuff. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar, one of your?
Yeah, it does.
To ask what that is. What is that? Why would I have been drawn to that?
Why would you have been drawn to that? The energy around it as well as the colours. I feel like I'm just... That one is size A1, yeah? And so it's a big painting. So that's what it is in its reality. It's a big painting with a lot of energy in it, and that's what you're drawn to. You've got a lot of energy yourself. So you're drawn to something that is mirroring you. The dynamics of the energy, the flow as well. So dynamic colours... Dynamic energy and flow, and that's like how you would many of the things you could say about yourself. So that's why you're drawn to this particular thing. There's a lot of truth in the energy around these paintings as well. So you're drawn to that clarity.
Clarity. Aw, I do, and I do. I want to know your truth, and I want to help allow you to express, because you're right. It is very dynamic, isn't it? Because everyone listening, and you and myself and everybody part of this right now, that's the dynamic. I mean, we are all the dynamic sharing this right now. So the people who are thinking, yeah, I am going to do something tough. So I want to send out that invitation extra so that people can go. And would you be open to them emailing you and saying, hey, I really like this painting. What does this mean? Or what's the story behind it? Or something like that. Because I think that's neat that people can explore what all these are.
Absolutely. And so in asking the questions, they're linking with me and they're linking with the artwork as well. So please do email me, do ask, linking with like-minded people. You know, absolutely. Yes, please do email me. I love sharing information about it. That's what we're meant to do. When we learn on our paths, we're meant to share. We're not meant to sit at home and stay quiet about what we've learned. We're meant to go out and show people and link with others.
That's exactly right. I love that. Now, so the articles that you're writing for the Parenting Magazine, those have been so, every time I read them, I think, wow, that's such a new twist too. So would you're taking a lot, you're almost like observing and witnessing your son and then finding this correlation in your life and then sharing it with people. Is that how you go about with writing those ones?
Absolutely. And when I write, I can almost feel when the story come in. So I don't push it. I'll wait until it's like I'll witness something and then the words will just, you can feel they're ready to come out and then it will just flow. So I'll start writing when I feel that energy and it will come out. I'm an energy worker, so I can feel what goes on around me. Same as with my artwork. This is my energy in my artwork. And I was a healer for many years. So I can feel when it's almost like it's right. There's a lot of people that need to hear this right now. The one about body wisdom was at a time when a lot of people around me, including myself, was having a big clear out, and that clear out meant we have to change things because our body was showing us something that are kilter here. Because we work on ourselves, things change, and that can be the foods we take on can be too heavy for us. It could be something in our environment that's too heavy energetically for us. So we must change, and that's why it's important with the body wisdom. We change. We do not stay the same. So that's why we need to listen.
Well, Sally, actually, it's so funny because the one quote that I really want to share from you, it literally is, and I'm going to say it, everything changes, and that is a gift of life. It's how we deal with the change that counts. Some changes are easy and some are not, but agreeing to go on the parenting from the heart journey, it is extremely visible. Isn't that funny that that's the one quote that I want to share with you specifically? And then you're talking about change, and I thought, oh, that's clever. So with all this, because we have about 1 minute left here, and I want everybody to share the reason that I super, superly was drawn to Sally. This is the most important thing. See, I'm a parent in my own right because I have my cats, and I do really parent them, but not like it's very different than a child, obviously. So Sally, to me, I was drawn because, A, she's a beautiful artist that really you embody the energy in that, in the transmission. Secondly, you share your stories. I think it takes a parent to be able to do this, share it with other parents in the way that they need. So, A, an artist, B, a parent, and C, what a fabulous writer you are about sharing stories in everything, whether we're talking about 3D puzzle pieces, your father, I mean, it's everything. So I want to make that final invitation for everybody to check out Sally Saint. And again, was it sallysaint.com.uk?
Co.uk.
So that's a huge invitation to everybody there. Now, you no longer do readings, but you know what? If you kind of, in your own way, you give them the tools and the grounding through your artwork. And so that's what I really want people to do.
It's empowering rather than a prop for somebody. Yeah, there's a difference. You can empower.
Yes. So if anybody's asking there in their life, they're going through something challenging, they've gone through something challenging, they still don't know what's going on, they're wondering or curious, like, oh my gosh, will this happen to me, whether it's good or bad? I just really feel that the right people will be drawn to you, Sally. And you're so full of life.
Thank you
so much for joining us, Sally. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. Many blessings.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye, Sally. Thank you.
Bye.